Hafa Day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
When he exalted God's name, he exposited God's word and lifted up who his son Jesus Christ was and used scripture to do that, drew back in the Old Testament of his day, then you also realize that we're being in a place in their own example that God ended up expanding, and literally there's an explosion of what God was doing.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
Acts 13 is Paul's very first public message that he preached. And in that sermon, the very first message that launched 16 years of travel for him, launched a good 50 years from that day to the very last words penned by John that give us themes, requirements, if you would, for us today. And then Paul, at the very end of his life, in his writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, where we're at, we're going to be reading six verses that sum up also these four themes that you find in his very first message, the same four themes that he begins in this simple personal document to a young preacher of his, emphasizing for him great concerns, but also challenges. Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 out loud together. You ready? I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He went on to give his expectations of future rewards and identified people that he worked together with in ministry, some faithful, some fell away. But ultimately, he said in verse 17 of chapter 4, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, and he strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. I'm thankful that Paul, in his very last words, years later, reflect the same passion and burden that he had when he started out ministry. Now the question is, what is those responsibilities? What are those themes? Acts 13, you can pick the story up in verse 13, and we're just going to kind of hopscotch our way through this particular passage from verse 13 ultimately to verse 52 and just draw highlights for you and then application for us today, because I think they're important. And this is where you end up finding those expectations and those requirements that as it was with him, and he was saying, this is what I want to emphasize, I would say to you as well. First of all, you'll find him to make a difference. He exalted God's name. It became a mission that he was exalting God's name. You know what, for you and me today, it's not much different. If we're going to make a difference, as it was with Paul, he exalted God's name. You find in verse 17, he says, the God of this people of Israel chose our fathers. He chose the Jews. From really verse 17 all the way down to really verse 38, he emphasizes by exalting the very name of God, because he knew that God had chosen the Jews, and he begins walking through their history. God was overruling and ruling in all the affairs of man. You know why he gave all that history? To realize there's a point in a place that God's going to use all of man's history, and it culminated, the still point in a turning world was the cross of Christ. And he didn't come just to be the fulfillment of all of prophecy that he did, but he was a justifier for you and me and our sin. Now, if I can lay that, I would also like to emphasize a second theme and a responsibility that you and I both carry, as Paul mentioned in his first message, that's exalting God's name. But secondly, you also know that there's a difference when we've got to exposit God's word. How do we know if God said this? This is why it draws us, as Paul took the preaching and said, I'm going to end up emphasizing all of who God is found in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do it by expositing God's word. I'm going to literally take God's word for what it is and study it and see him for who he is. He's emphasizing the scriptures, the scriptures, the scriptures. We're emphasizing, let's take God's word and exposit it. And in addition to that, when I look at Paul, I realize that to make a difference as he did, there had to be an example of God's people. When you look at the Bible, you realize there's so many examples of God's people. You realize that even in Acts chapter 13, look what Paul ended up emphasizing. And Luke here documenting this. When he got done preaching the emphasis of Jesus Christ, you end up finding in verse 42, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, this is the end of the sermon, this is the end of the worship service, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. They said, you know what, this is so awesome. Would you come back next week? Would you end up, please, taking this and explaining this to us next week? And you find the example of Paul and Barnabas as great examples of people that personally spent time with them. Fact is, verse 43, and when the congregation was broken up, I like that term, they finished the service. Many of the Jews and the religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas. And notice, this is what Paul and Barnabas was speaking to them. They were individually persuading them to continue in the grace of God. They were saying, listen, you keep doing this. You keep going to scriptures. What does God have to say? And they were so motivating them. Fact is, in verse 45, you had people that didn't like that message. They were filled with envy. They spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul. They were contradicting them. They were blaspheming him. You know what they were saying? Hey, they were watering it down. They didn't like what God's word was being said. And so you had a group of people, even in Paul's day, as it is today, they don't like that. They were going to go against all of it. I think it's so important to realize that as Christians, we do need to be different. Alfred Barnes made a great statement. I don't agree with everything he said, but this one was a good one. He said it this way, and I think it's to be true. When he made this statement, if nobody thinks you're strange, you're probably not a good Christian. And if everybody thinks you're strange, you're probably not a good Christian. When you take the scriptures as a whole, you realize that your own example can make a difference. Now, if you've got all that, let me give you lastly the fourth theme and responsibility that Paul laid out when you look at his preaching. And again, we're just kind of going over the surface, laying a foundation. But the last fact to be made is to make a difference, as Paul uses his preaching, we must expand God's church. That we must expand God's church. Now, we can't do that, but God does that through us. I want to make sure you know that I understand that. But this is what happened. When he exalted God's name, he exposited God's word and lifted up who his son Jesus Christ was and used scripture to do that, drew back in the Old Testament of his day, then you also realize that we're being in a place in their own example that God ended up expanding, and literally there's an explosion of what God was doing. Look at what happens in verse 44. A week later, you know where they're meeting? In church. Now, it's a synagogue, different than a church, but the concept is the same. Verse 44, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. What were they doing between the week before and that Sunday or that Saturday, that Shabbat? You know what they were doing? They were going around town. This is awesome. You need to come hear this. There was individual touches and the examples of their lives led them to realize there's something different here. And as they again began preaching, you find in verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. They glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and that the word of the Lord was published. It was spread throughout all the region. There was an explosion. It expanded in what God was wanting to do in individual lives. And don't get tripped up over the very term, by the way, in verse 48, as we're ordained to eternal life, they believed. Literally, the idea is they're enrolled in the book of life. You say, man, did you believe, Pastor, that God foreordained before the world ever began me and my salvation to eternal life? Evidently, that's what the Bible says. But hey, listen, I don't know who that is and who that's not. And so you know what I'm supposed to do? I'm going to go to all the world and preach the gospel to everyone, because I have no idea who that is and who that's not. There are some people that get hung up on that, and they think, well, you know, therefore I don't have to witness because, you know, if God didn't ordain him or foreordain him, then I don't have to worry about it. Well, the reality is God tells us to go and tell all people the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, it's such a simple matter, but for our church, we're responsible. I want to exalt God's name. I want to exposit God's word. We want to have and be an example. That's why sometimes we are going to end up saying, you know what? You shouldn't do that. Don't do that. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting the cause of Christ. Hey, there's times we're saying, you know what? Keep up doing that. Here are people to illustrate it and examples, as it was with Paul. And in addition to that, we want to be in a place to make a difference that our own church, we don't have to grow. We do have to obey. You say, well, how are we going to end up getting this good news out to other people to do what we've been doing? It's interesting. The other day I heard statistics that if we desire to give this gospel out, this good news out, and we wanted to do this in a mass crusade, and let's say that we had a crusade every night, and we were able to get 50,000 people every night, and out of the 50,000 people, 1,000 of them were saved. So tomorrow night, get a big crusade. 50,000 people show up. And out of the 50,000, 1,000 get saved. And the next night, another 50,000, brand new people, and 1,000 get saved. And the next night, 50,000 people, and 1,000 get saved. Over a whole year, 365 days, 365,000 people. If we ended up doing that, and we did this, by the way, for 35 years, every night, 1,000 people get saved. Even at that, you'd end up finding that because of the exponential birth rate, we'd be farther behind than when we first started. However, if you, by a desire to give the gospel out to the mass crusade, decided, let's do this. Let me pray, God, give me one person that I could see saved and disciple in 1 year. That 1 year from now, next year at the end of August, it's not just me, but I have someone else that has come to Christ and I've discipled, and they realize, you know what? They need to, like I need to, go out again and find somebody else to lead the Lord and then disciple. And then the third year, now there's three of us, and all three of us go out. We lead some of the Lord and we disciple. And the next year, we do the same. In less than 50 years, you would end up seeing the whole world come to Christ. Just statistically. You say, well, Pastor, what's the best way to do it? I think both. When I look at Scripture, what do you think Paul was doing? Standing up, giving the gospel publicly. And at the same time, he individually was going and praying and discipling.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.